If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in verse 17. Now, the book of Ephesians is, those of you that are students, you know that we have a class that I'm blessed to teach on this subject. But the book of Ephesians is called the Prince of the Epistles. And it is there's six chapters. The first three chapters deal with who we are in Christ and our positional truth about lays out the plan of redemption for us and how God planned it, Jesus carried it out, and the Holy Spirit enforces it, our redemption. And then it breaks there, and so that's who we are. But then the last three chapters are now, so what? What do we do now? You know, sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we just talk about this is it, but we don't ever get the, well, how do I do this or what do I do? And I think in this book here, because he didn't deal with any great problems or anything of that necessarily, but he lays out for us where the sole of your foot hits the pavement. How do you live? If you're in Christ, what do you do now? You see, thank God for all those great, we call them redemptive realities and all those great things of who we are. But if it doesn't affect our lifestyle, then we got a problem. All right? And so I want to pick this up here. I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible to start with, and you'll notice I kind of take the these and thous out as I go forward in this, but that's as close of a translation there is. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth or from this time forward walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now here, the term Gentile would be used for someone who does not have a relationship with God through Christ in the New Testament. It's just someone who's not born again. They're not a Christian. They're not a child of God. So he said, don't walk or live like other Gentiles live in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or former way of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we'll stop there for the moment. Now he talks here, he said, listen, basically, look, you've become a Christian, and you're no longer to live life like you did before you were a Christian, or live life the way the rest of the world's living life. We don't go along with the world, all right? We're children of God now, and we've got a brand new way of living. In fact, it's to affect every area of our life. Those of you who've been in this long enough, you know what? How many of you, it changed the way you talk? Amen. Some of you, you know, some of you even have got to where you've learned how to call things that be not as though they were. It's given you a whole new spiritual language, if you will. Okay? But in doing that, he says, look, don't live any longer a vain life, an empty life, a life that has no result. Don't live. That's the way the rest of the world's living. And whether they realize it or not, those who are living in a life that denies Jesus Christ are living an empty life. Now, they may think they've got a full life, but really when the payoff comes at the end, they're going to wish they had done it differently, made different decisions, right? And so he's talking here, you know, about that. He says and really it's a past tense of how we used to live. He's saying, don't live that way any longer. Don't go around like with your understanding darkened. Now, I want to unravel a little bit of this. I want to read it from three other translations, what we just read. First, with the Message Bible. The Message Bible, verse 17. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. Well, everybody else is doing it. That's the dumbest reason to do anything, isn't it? If all your friends jumped off of the cliff, would you jump off? You know that whole, would you jump off with them? You know what I'm saying, that whole. going along with the crowd, just doing what everybody, well, everybody else you know. Everybody else I know is, and it's interesting. I've been having some conversations here with some different folks over the last few weeks, and we're talking about some things. And it's interesting that there's kind of a pattern that we're noticing. I don't think it's new. I think it's always been there, but sometimes you notice it more than others. And for some reason, it seems that it creeps back in amongst Christians where we start to compartmentalize our lives. What do I mean? Well, here's my church life and my church face and my church smile and my church praise. But then that doesn't affect my work life. See, that's vain. That's what he's talking about, vain living. See, we can't put things in a... You know, I heard a guy say years ago, I heard a guy say this in the church I grew up talking to a bunch of youth. He said, there's certain rooms in my house we don't let God in. And what he meant by that is, you know, we come to church, we do that, but here we do whatever we want. See, putting things in different compartments, if you will, and never letting them touch, thinking that they won't affect one another, but they surely do. You realize this, every decision you make is building the house you're going to live in tomorrow. You know, and around here, you know, we encourage you, Pastor, you know, this great book on how everyone has a calling on their life. Everyone has a ministry. But the life of the ministry comes from the life of the minister. If the minister's life is out of whack, the ministry is not going to function the way God intended it to function. And it's not that God is the one, the problem, it's the vessel. Okay, let's keep reading. He said, they've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, in other words, they have no remorse anymore. They let themselves go into sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. Tell your neighbor, that's no life for you. He said, you learned Christ. My assumption is that you paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside. See, that's what the first three chapters about are, who we are on the inside, and working itself into our conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Now, see, this is coming at it. He's coming at it because he's already told us who we are. He's coming at it from the proper angle of grace has made you these things, but that grace does not release us from the responsibility to then live these things. See, it's not the law which says get good enough for God and then he'll accept you. It's grace has accepted you, but now live the good. You see, it's depending on what's your starting place. Well, you think about it. The Bible says that he is the head, we are the body of Christ. Well, if the head is holy, do you think the body's not already holy also? We are holy, but we have to live it out. If the head is sanctified, we're sanctified. If the head is justified, we're justified, you see, as the body. But we have to live it out. Now, we realize this, we're not going to be perfect. There hasn't been one person except Jesus that ever lived a perfect life. All right? And look, folks, they already crucified him, so quit crucifying your neighbor who can't live perfect. But that doesn't give me an excuse then to say, well, you know, my flesh, I'm not perfect, you know, and every once in a while. No, that doesn't give me the excuse. All right. Let's look at the New Living Translation here, verse 17. You know, sometimes if you just learn how to read scripture the right way, you can preach a pretty good sermon because these are sermons, you know. Just a thought there, but anyway, let's move on. With the Lord's authority... Now notice how Paul's saying this. He's not, this isn't something that just, he's saying this with the grace God's given him. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God, the life from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Now listen, he's telling us not to do that. So it tells me this, it's possible to be a new creature in Christ. It's possible to be in him and be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's possible to have the Holy Ghost as the seal of the new covenant. It's possible for grace to be saved through faith. It's possible for all that, but then for us to still live this way. And see. So we have our part to do. He said, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But this isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now see, put on implies that it's something that we already have, but we have to put it on. Now this clothing isn't something you go to your closet and pick out. This is something that's already on the inside of you, and we're bringing it from the inside out. That's how Christians live life, folks, from the inside out. That's why when circumstances happen that are not favorable to you, you don't have to be affected by it because we don't live from the outside in. We live from the inside out. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The outward man perishes, but the inward man's renewed day by day. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. What's he talking about? My spirit that's in union with Christ, the born again child of God. Live from that basis. You see, love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit's in there. Live from that. That way, what happens on the outside doesn't affect us. Aren't you glad that he meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory? By Christ Jesus. Not his riches in whatever economy I live in. Amen? Now, I want to read this from the Contemporary English Version. This one kind of starts off right in our grill here. I don't know if they have that one or not, but I'm going to read it. As a follower of the Lord, I order you to stop living like stupid, godless people. I just read it, folks. I didn't write it. Their minds are in the dark, and they are stubborn and ignorant, and have missed out on the life that comes from God. They no longer have any feelings about what is right. Now, you know, as I was praying about this, you know, and getting ready for this service over the, you know, since I've known I had this service, and start looking at and just seeking God, and just in my own private time of just spending time with the Lord and reading, you know, sometimes something will jump out at you. And this jumped out at me. They no longer have any feelings about what is right. And unfortunately, I think if we're not careful, we see some of this in the body of Christ. There's a real searching going on for what is right. But I'm telling you, if you separate the parts of your life from God, you see, I remember going in learning things and even trying to teach on this subject, you kind of try to rank things. Well, God wants to be first in your life. The Bible never says that. Folks, listen, God is not interested in being first in your life. God is interested in being your life. You cannot separate God from your responsibility as a husband or a wife. You cannot separate God from your responsibility as an employee or as an employer. See, God is in it all. And his word, the New Testament, talks about it all. Amen. So I can't be a Christian on Sunday or, you know, a better than Sunday Christian, Sunday and Wednesday. No, I'm not ranking you. But you know what I mean. I'm there every time the door opens. Well, you can't be that and then live like the devil on your job. or drive like the devil. Brother Bill was talking about, you know, come out to the golf tournament, you'll get a lot of laughs. I asked Brother Marvin, I said, is that before or after all the swearing? But that doesn't happen at our golf tournament. But I've played with Christians. I've played with them, you know, and it's just, woo, it's like beep, beep, everything they say, you know, you got to have you need one of those on the golf course. That doesn't work, folks. That's not what God intended. Let's keep reading here. They are so greedy that they do all kinds of indecent things. See, why? Because when you live that way, it's all about you. It's all about me. Well, you know, it used to be, think about it, those of us who were, I don't know, were we blessed to live in the 60s? Can I have a testimony of those? You know, those of us that lived in the 60s, you know, what did that start? Well, if it feels good, do it. Right? And that whole moving away, there was kind of a moving away in society from the God's absolute truth. Well, if it's good for you, then it's okay. You are your own ethical gauge. Well, that's what he's talking about, this greedy kind of life. He says, but that isn't what you were taught about Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and you heard about him and learned about him. Verse 21 goes to verse 20. Verse 22, you were told that your foolish desires will destroy you, and that you must give up your old way of life with all of its bad habits. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God, and so you must please him and be truly holy. Excuse me. Now, I'm going to go back to the Message Bible here and pick up from verse 25. And so he says these things to us, and then he gives some practical things that, hey, here's some things to stop doing, and here's some things to do. All right? In other words, it's not just be holy. It's okay. Here's some actual practical things written to Christians. And in fact, in chapter 5, these were Spirit-filled Christians, because he tells them, stay filled with the Spirit. You know, if we get it right down to them, these are, you know, these people he's writing to, probably here a few weeks ago, took off running during camp meeting. They danced. They praised the Lord. All right? You know what I'm saying, folks? He's writing to us here. All right? Verse 25. What this adds up to then is this. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. Like the King James says, quit lying. You mean you got to tell Spirit-filled Christians not to lie to one another? Absolutely, you have to. Don't poke your neighbor, but look at him. Just look at him right now. He said, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Very first thing out of the box, quit lying to each other. Amen. You know, it's something that Jesus said, the Bible said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than that is going to get you in trouble. Now, let me say this on the receiving end of something. Let people's yes be yes and their no be no. Sometimes we push people so far, we back them into a corner, you know. Some of us, you know, we think, you know, you are not, well, I show my age. You're not Columbo. You know, that's an old TV detective. You're not interrogating people, you know. Yeah, William, it's, you know. But, you know, if I ask William, you're going to be at this meeting, and he knows he's not coming, he should have the freedom to say, no, brother, I'm not coming. Well, okay. And I should be able to walk away from that. Not, well, I'm going to try to make it. He's not going to try to make it. He knows when he told me that he wasn't going to try to make it. You know what I'm saying? We've all been there. if we're looking at this, not only is it speak the truth, we have to let people tell us the truth. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. You can't handle the truth. No, that's another move. But you understand what I'm saying, though? Because the truth is the only thing that will actually free you when you act upon it. No, you see this all the time, you know. I was privileged to be able to, you know, coach youth sports, you know, and several in basketball and baseball and coming up through the time. And, you know, there's just some times when you get there and bless their darling heart, they're a great little kid, a great little guy, but they can't play. And you got to get, you know, you get there with parents. And when we go from the league that everybody plays, everybody participates, to we want to now, you know, start playing the game the right way. Then there's sometimes that some kids, they're not able to go on. And you just got to be honest with their parents. Probably the little kid, he's thrilled. I mean, I don't have to go up there and be scared for my life anymore while that guy pitches the ball at me. Yeah. He's only playing because mom and dad made him anyway, or somebody's making him, you know. Because you can tell that you say, you're up. They're like, you know. Now, there's nothing like coaching beginners. That's the funnest thing I've ever done in my life, you know. They tell you all kinds of stuff. There's some, I can't even tell you what they say. But they, you're out there. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen a baseball game when the ball's hit, every fielder runs for the ball? And then they dogpile on the ball. We had kids punching each other. We had them fight to get the ball. All the while, the runner's running around the bases, you know. But not only do we need to learn to speak the truth, and we may just spend our time on this right now because there's other, I don't have to, we have to learn how to hear the truth and accept the truth. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's like I've told my son in sports, I said, the time came when no one wanted Michael Jordan to play on their team any longer. Maybe the greatest basketball player ever, I don't know ever how you think about it, but, you know, the time came in his life where you're not good enough anymore. Even though he still thinks, in his 50, he still thinks he's good enough to play, no. Okay? As hard as that truth is to hear, but we got to learn to speak the truth. Now, earlier in chapter 4, he said speaking the truth in love. Some people mistake being blunt with being truthful. Some people mistake being mean with being truthful. Why do I want to tell Brian the truth? To bless Brian. There's no other reason but another to be a blessing in his life. That's the only reason to tell somebody the truth, is to be a blessing in their life. Because see, otherwise it's about me then. Amen. But see, this is nitty gritty living. This is living real life. In him, you know, woo, glory to God. He chose me before the foundation. And you can preach on those things. You start talking about tell the truth, which Paul did here. Now I'll say this because we don't have much time here. I've noticed that these first three chapters, the first three chapters to me, there's like a hinge there. And it's, to me, it's Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God. Well, the last three chapters, chapter 4, 5, and 6, hinge on and be filled with the Spirit. How are you going to tell the truth? You're going to have to be full of the Spirit. And what does that mean? You're led by, compelled by, energized by, your thoughts are filtered through the Spirit of God. What's the word say about this? And then by the power of the Spirit, you speak out. Okay? The truth. Think about what the rest of Ephesians 5 says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. How are you going to do that, wife? You've got to be full of the Spirit. Because you can't do it based on his actions. You'd never. Because he would never qualify. As unto the Lord? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. How? You've got to be full of the Spirit. So how am I going to speak the truth with my neighbor? How am I going to do that? The contemporary English Bible says, we are part of the same body. Stop lying and start telling each other the truth. I'll never forget when I got a new position, went to a new church, and one of my jobs was to be the praise and worship leader there, and they had an existing praise and worship team. And so, you know, after a while, I said, well, I'll do it for a while, and then I'll start seeing. Well, we had a couple people on that praise and worship team that, be quite honest with you, for a while, I told the sound personnel, turn their microphone off. Because we were on floor monitors, and all we had was the lead music and the lead singer in it. They didn't need to hear that. I said, you have to learn how to sing without hearing yourself. So, but we just turned their mics off. And then I had to tell them. I had to say, listen, God bless you. You're so wonderful. You've been so faithful. But you really don't sing very well. And we need you to be, you can be a great blessing in other parts of the church. One day I'm walking into the church right before service, and the husband of this one lady takes his hand, pops me right in the chest. I said, if you don't get my wife back up on that platform, we're leaving this church, and we'll see what this church will do without our tithe. Quite well, by the way. They did quite well without him. But later on, that same couple had us, several times they wanted to do stuff with us. They came back later and said, you know, you're absolutely right. She said, I can't sing like they can sing. Let them up there. But I'd a whole lot rather speak the truth to that person than have their mic turned off all the time. Because then you're what? You're lying to them. And the only reason I turned their mic off, because the pastor wouldn't let me tell them the truth at first. I said, you're going to have to let me tell them. They can't sing. That's why, folks, you new folks here at Rhema, you want to be part of the choir, you've got to audition. Amen. See, we don't want Barney Fife up there singing a cappella, na na na, you know. I've had people ask me, you're a praise and worship leader. Why don't you lead praise and worship at Rhema? I said, have you heard them folks sing? Have you heard this bunch sing? They don't want me up there singing. Let them sing. You understand what I'm saying? So not only tell the truth, but be willing to hear the truth. We got to stop right there, okay? All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to receive that second offering right now for Pastor Hagen, and then we'll close out the service. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, I've always been blessed. I'll tell you this, and I've always been blessed when someone loved me enough to tell me the truth. Right? And that's really where it comes from. When you love someone, you know. Now, I didn't call for truthful confrontations immediately after service tonight, okay? That's not what we're talking about, you know. You deal with yourself first, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to text to give for that offering for Pastor Hagen, 28950 Hagen, the space and the amount. If you want to give, you know, everybody get out something, put something in this offering and be a blessing. You know, Pastor's birthday comes, 77 years old. He's the same age as my mom and dad. They've already had them, but he's that same age group as they are. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I plan on being as active as they are at 77. They're a blessing and encouragement. And we, you know, we have pastors that have not only been called to be local church pastors, obviously, they've been called to pastor people all over the world. And so, you know, you as a congregation are to be commended in that you are okay with letting your pastors travel and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for their life and the ministry that they do. And so, but it's a great blessing. As Bill said, they don't ask us to do this, don't want us to do this, but we're not going to let their birthdays go by and Christmas and those type of things without being a blessing to them. They're such a blessing to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to receive that offering right now. Hold your offering up there. Father, we thank you for Pastor Hagen. Thank you for his birthday. May this be the best year yet in his life and ministry. Father, we thank you for health and renewing of his strength, Lord God, giving him wisdom and understanding and an anointing, a fresh anointing of the Spirit, that his ministry would go to a different level this year, Father God. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Go ahead and receive that offering, if you will. While they're doing that, just as soon as we pass the buckets, I want you to stay seated right now. But other than the prayer teams can go ahead and come right now, if you would. But everybody else, please stay seated, if you will. That way it lets them pass the buckets and there's no hindrance with that. Prayer teams are going to be coming. If you need prayer for anything tonight, then guys, come up and talk to our guys. Ladies, to the ladies. They're going to pray with you according to the word of God, because that's what gets answers. Jesus said that the word was the truth. Amen. And so if you need prayer when we dismiss here in just a moment, and right before I dismiss you, I'm going to ask our connection team to go back and find our first time guest, if you will. Take them to that special place. Get a gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Rhema Bible Church. Let's give a hand clap to our first time guests as they go. We're so glad that you're here, and come be a part with us. Now, those of you that are here to go to school, this is your church. God sent you to Rhema. All right? So be part of Rhema Bible Church. This is where you're going to learn all that God has for you. We're not saying we're the only church. We're just saying this is where God sent you. So to be a part of this, all right? And you'll be blessed by it, believe me. You will be blessed. All right, I can see. I want to let the ushers go ahead and get their service done, what they're doing for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Praise the Lord. It's important that they're free to move about freely without any hindrances. So that's why we're sitting here for just a couple minutes. Amen. I took a few minutes over, so Pastor will have to give it back to you. Has he ever given us any minutes back? Sometimes he said, I'm going to take, every once in a while he'll say, well, I'll give you, and then he talks until it's time. No, but never. That's what we do, right? I'm going to let you out early, then I talk till the normal time anyway. Okay, the ushers are done. Everybody stand up, if you will. Tell that person next to you, be real bold, say, love me enough to tell me the truth, and you can be dismissed.